Good. I wanted to. We had a Bible study with Pastor Kastner this week, and she talked about Emmanuel and a song. It's Christmas time, so you hear the song a lot. But the word, the name Emmanuel means God with us. And in the Bible study, God showed her. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. We'll read it together. Matthew chapter 1. Wait, no, what am I supposed to find? Is it 12?
Matthew
123.
Is it Emmanuel?
Oh, yeah, it is 123. Okay. So we're going to read from actually verse 18. If everyone say, I'll read it. Matthew 1:18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place that was spoken by the Lord through what the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, in verse 23, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Now earlier, verse 23, that was a repeat of a prophecy in Isaiah 7:14. So when Catherine was sharing this with us, she said, you know, the prophecy in Isaiah, which was way before, was again prophesied in Matthew. But the point of it was, it's the same God. That God has not changed his promises from beginning to the end. We change. We change how we look at it. We change how we have faith in it. But God never changed. His promise of his son from Isaiah is the same promise he was going to fulfill in Matthew. Right? It was being fulfilled in Matthew. It's important that we as Christians understand that our God is not changing. And the reason why this is so important is because everything around us changes. If you look at Christianity today, and for those, how many of you grew up in Christian homes? If you went to church when you were, say, 12, 13 years old, and going to church today, has it changed? Is it the same? Not on a personal level. I'll tell you, for me, it changed drastically. Right, you know, like Melanie and I were from Malaysia. We were talking a while ago about how in the early times of the churches in Malaysia, you know, it was very different. There was a different kind of fervency, different kind of expectation. But then in churches today, you know, a lot of times we go to church and we're entertained. We feel good being there, right? There's not a lot of challenge necessary in our life. Things around us change. If we go to a different country, our church experience might be different. If we go to a different church, our church experience might be different. So sometimes as Christians, we get a little confused because we think that as long as I go fit into a certain community, I can adopt this level of Christianity and I'm okay. Mm. But actually, that's not true, right? You see, the Bible is consistent from beginning to the end. We can't fit God and Christianity and the salvation of Jesus Christ into what we would like it to be, but instead we need to understand where God is, what he's saying in his word, and then we need to adapt to that. So, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I use this as the title because that is exactly what it is. Our faith and hope in him can rely on the fact that he is unchanging and his promises are true. Now, what is the promise of Christ? The promise of Christ is salvation. That promise has not changed. Salvation is available to anyone and everyone who seeks it and who asks for it. In order for us to understand that Jesus is the same, unchanged, and consistent, we first need to understand what he did is still stands to today. So let's go back to Hebrews 10 to understand that one sacrifice that Jesus made for us there was a complete sacrifice. And we're going to be reading mainly out of Hebrews chapter 10 today. All right, Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 10. For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices year by year, which they offer continually, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, they would have ceased to be offered because the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year. So verse 1 to 3 is saying, just by the law alone, by the law of Moses, the animal sacrifices that were made were not perfect, right? They were just made to appease, but they couldn't take away the guilty conscience that was in each heart, right? In fact, when they went back to do the animal sacrifices every year, they were reminded of the fact that they were sinners. Verse 4, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. And this was Jesus. In whole burnt offerings for sin you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the roll of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. And then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first order to establish the second. He took away the first covenant to establish the second. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. You know, earlier on when we were in worship and we were praying about being in the presence of God, being in the presence of God in the Old Testament, do you remember how you got into the presence of God? Before Jesus, how did people enter into the presence of God? You have to go into the Holy of Holies. That means if you are not a high priest, an understanding of the person of God, because it was not available to us. There was just no way to do it. Now when we sing and we say, in your presence, what would the song say? It said, in your, my hiding place. Yeah, you're my hiding place. I find God is our hiding place. That means we can be in his presence. That was not available to us before Jesus. That was not available to us through animal sacrifices. The ability for us to, in our hurts, in our pains, in our fear, in our lacking, in our longing, we had nowhere to go but to go fulfill what was religiously considered acceptable. But now we have that very presence here. As we are worshiping today in this place, God's very presence was here in the midst of us. And that work was done only because of Jesus. Because he did that work, because he did that yesterday, right, in the past, we have that today. Because we have that today, we will always have it tomorrow. But this is our hope, our future. We know without a doubt we will never be alone. We know without a doubt we always have a place to go. You see, he's been the same. He has been consistent. Now, if we choose to forget, and instead of going into the presence of God, we choose to just find our own place, that's not because Jesus stopped the work that he did and God's presence is no longer available to us. That presence is always there. It's just up to us to remember that our God is consistent yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's never been taken away from us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 to 18, I'll read it to you. This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. You know, prior to Jesus, the laws were written on a scroll that was in the ark that was behind in the presence of God in the Holy of Holies. But he said, instead of that, when Jesus died on the cross, he said, I will write those laws on my heart. You know what that means? That means the Holy Spirit resides inside of us. When we sin, God reminds us. He reminds us so his presence continuously live inside of us. Right. He said, I will write them on their minds. Then he says, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. Now, the gravity of this one is what we have to remember. How many of you have ever done something wrong before? Good. I'm glad we have honest people in this room. When you do something bad and somebody finds out, that person who finds out, you're always going to have a little bit of an awkwardness with that person because they know what you did, right? God knows what we did. But he said, I will never remember it. Do you understand that means like complete difference in change of mind? That means I am no longer blamed. I have been set free. Nobody has to look at me through those glasses of, I know what you did. You know, you are this kind of a person because this is what you've done. Or you are this kind of a person because this is what you've done. He says, I will no longer again remember their sins and their lawless deeds. And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need again to offer any more sacrifice. Sacrifice is done. That's what Jesus has done for us. Consistent, right? So now look at the platform he set us on. He said, I'm taking you from where you were. I'm cleaning everything that you've done. I'm putting you on a new platform. I'm giving you a second chance, right? That's kind of a platform for success, right? It's like I'm wiping away all your traffic tickets. I'm wiping away everything you've ever done before, and I'm putting you on this brand new platform. Don't worry. Your past is gone. What does that mean for us? Isn't that said, it's like pretty much setting you up for success and giving you a second chance. Here's a pen, write your life over again. There's three things that happened, right? What we just read in Hebrews 10:16. He changed our minds and our hearts. Hebrews 10:16, it says, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. You mean that, you know, that means that God is actually going to help us change our hearts and our mind, right? He actually will help us. So the minds that are corrupt, the minds that have been subject to all kinds of pain and suffering and torment. Some people tell me, I can't ever forgive. I can't let go. Well, you can't because you said you can't. It's not because God says you can't. He says, I will write my laws on their minds and their hearts. If God is going to put his laws in our mind and our hearts, think about it. If God's law resides in your mind, can there be unforgiveness and sin in your mind and in your heart? Right? There's no such thing as I can't. Because with God, he can transform anybody and anything into any situation. He said he will change our hearts and our minds. He completely forgives our sin. He wipes our slate clean and we get a second chance. So, sorry, I'm on the wrong side here. There you go. Okay. So, by the sacrifice, that's the one. He changed our hearts and our minds. He completely forgave our sins, wiped our slate clean, and we get a second chance. So there's no more need to offer sacrifice. Offering of sacrifice, the one thing that you can think about, like every major religion in the world, why do you offer sacrifice? Usually. To appease the God. Because you messed up.
Appease the angry God.
Right? You offer a sacrifice. You say, I'm so sorry. Please take my sacrifice. But when there is forgiveness of sin, there is no longer a need to appease. Do you see how our relationship with God is changing right there? We are no longer saying, sorry, God, sorry, God, sorry, God. There's nothing to be sorry about. It's been forgiven. I'm no longer coming to God from that place of, I'm a screw up, I'm a mess up. It's done. God's already taken care of it. He's already forgiven us for that. So Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, the word is consistent, and this is why it's really important for us to grow, for us to understand this. We have to have God's word in our heart. We have to have an understanding of God's word in our heart for ourselves. You know, if we're getting God's word from messages or from books, then where is the understanding of God's word in our heart? Hebrews says, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. If we don't take that sword into our life that separates bone and marrow every day, then how are we supposed to identify the areas that God has set us free from? Now, God is the same. We know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and together. But I want to show you guys this picture. So if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then our responsibility truly as believers is that we must change. Now, I started thinking about change, and this word has been on my heart a lot, consistency. Right? In order for something in your life to change, which, you know, as we go into the new year, right, we are all going to be looking at January 1st and what resolutions you have to make. So I wanna set you guys straight right now. The word resolute is not what we have grown to understand resolute to mean. We all set the year off with 15 resolutions or 5 resolutions. Some people say set an achievable goal, make one resolution. A resolution is not something you make and then you break. That's not a resolution. A resolution, the word resolute, actually, you can find it in the Bible, in Joshua chapter 1, where God tells Joshua, be strong and be courageous. The word courageous there also is translated to the word resolute. To be resolute means you have made a complete decision to change. See, we as believers, we are called to be like Joshua, to be strong and courageous, to be resolute in our decision for God. So when we think about change and being resolute, change doesn't necessarily mean you become, you know, even a butterfly takes a while to turn into a butterfly from a caterpillar, right? Change, it takes time. I like this picture because it really shows what can happen with change and with consistency. So on the left, you'll see that there was a rock, and then over time, you go back and you see, and it's gone. Now, from what I know, at least, of this picture, there was no explosive used, and there was no large machinery used to get rid of that extra piece of rock. But what happens to that extra piece of rock is that over time, with water and wind and friction, erosion happened. That's change. Change is consistency. You see, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is consistent. And so in order for us to be like him, consistency needs to be a large part of our spiritual walk. We have to be resolute in our decision to be consistent, right? And so, and why is this? Like, you know, we can always try to correct each other's behavior, certain things like, you should go to Bible study more, you should go to church more, you should, right? But the thing is that you won't do these things until the change starts to happen in your life and the desire for the fellowship and the desire for the growth and the desire for the learning begins to increase and grow. Does that make sense? Mm. Like, when you guys don't show up at church, you can almost be sure I'll send you a text, right? So you know that you're going to get someone saying, hey, are you doing okay? Is everything okay? Do you need something? Now, that's not going to instigate change in your life, right? But what's going to instigate change in your life is consistent action in your own growth. And as you go into this next year and you look at, you know, starting a new year, starting fresh, what are we going to do different this year? You know, lose 20 pounds, lose 30 pounds. Everything has to start with a single step, right? And, you know, the guidance around resolutions is tell somebody what you're going to do or make achievable goals. I'll tell you this, pray about it and just start doing it. A lot of times we give God lip service and we say, God, I'm going to pray more. I'm going to spend more time with you. The point of it is consistency, right? And so it's like if I make a goal to read my Bible every day and I start Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then, oops, on Thursday I wake up late. So I don't read my Bible on Thursday because all day on Thursday I feel so guilty that I woke up late and I didn't read my Bible. So Friday I'm down, I'm killed in condemnation and I can't pick up my Bible again. Saturday I'm feeling horrible. I'm not even sure if I should go to church on Sunday. And then Sunday I come to church and I'm like, I'm a horrible sinner. No, if you miss it one day, pick it up the next day. Pick it up the next moment you can. That's consistency. You see, when a wave comes by and when the waves were late, they didn't stop outside the stone and go, we can't hit the stone today. We're like 20 minutes late. They were just, it's just consistent, right? It's consistency. Anything we learn in life is consistency. You know, my dogs, it's like, part of training them, which we are not very consistent on, but when we have been consistent, if we consistently train the dogs, like Dora taught Cody how to give paw. And it's because she sat with him 3 nights in a row and taught him how to give paw and gave him lots of food, right? So that consistency mixed together with the treat really works. We work the same way. But this consistency cannot be for a period or a season. This is where our resolution needs to come. It's like, I am resolute to change my life. You know, one thing I would encourage and challenge all of us to do is at the end of the year this year, write down, how did I change this year? Write it down. Don't say, how am I going to change next year? Because you know a change is going to happen as we get closer to God. But how did I change this year? Just do a reflection. What in my life has changed? Have I become what God has put in my life to be? Right? Because the fact is that we always do need to change. Always, right? We're always transforming more and more into the image of God. We have to change. If we're the same person we were 5 years ago, time to change, right? It's time to change. It's time to become more like God. How do we go out and share the gospel and begin to have people's lives transformed around us, our family, people we love, when they don't see God in us? So the change has to happen. But stop and take account. How did my life change this year? What have I overcome? What have I become? And you don't have to show it to anybody. It's between you and God and the Holy Spirit. Just really do a quick self-exam. We need to take account of where we are. Next year, do the same thing again. And you'll begin to see how faithful our God is when we are consistent with Him. Right? Consistency is important. You know, we can talk about priorities. We can talk about setting goals. We can talk about all those things. But if you're not consistent, those things are not going to come about. You see, like even, you know, consistency builds habits. They say that. But even if you don't get any of that right, just being consistent in our walk with God, remembering one thing, our Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always there. He's your constant that you hold on to. So when we look at this picture, there's no way you would have been able to move that rock. You don't even know how deep it goes, right? We don't even know how deep it goes down. But if you look across, it looks like it's pretty level. Over time and with patience, that's what happens. Our change in our life, it happens with time and with patience. It happens with time and in the presence of God. We go through trials and tribulations and we persevere with God, and then that's what happens. Areas of our life that are hard and rough and that have not been able to be chipped off, pain, suffering, memories, upbringing, those things are not going to happen just by sitting with somebody and talking to them for an hour, right? Or getting together with a group of people and just praying for a week. God will heal us and take us through these things over time. God will heal and take people through this in our lives over time, but the consistency has to be there. You know, one thing that whenever I start something, especially with Bible studies and prayer, we used to have a Bible study that we had on Wednesday nights, and we would do the girls and the boys. And I think we started it, probably, Jaden is 15, so probably about 13 years ago. So for 13 years, we had a Bible study here every Wednesday night. Sorry, not 13, 12 years. We had a Bible study here every Wednesday night. And we've had all kinds of people come through. And sometimes we would have 20 people on a Wednesday night. Sometimes we would have one. And for the last year, 2 years ago, for that last year, we had one, like literally for the whole year. And then that one would sometimes come and sometimes not come. And so I really struggle with it, and because I don't like to stop things. Like, you can ask the girls. We have Bible study every other week. It doesn't matter, rain or shine, we have Bible study, because for me, it's like, if you make something consistent, people know to come. If you're not consistent, they don't know to come, right? So that Wednesday night Bible study was something I really, really struggled with, but time was a real challenge for me because Jaden has math classes on Wednesdays, and it was just, like, logistically, it was getting impossible. So I talked to Pastor Catherine, and I'm like, what do I do? I don't want to ever cancel a Bible study, but what do I do? And she put things in perspective for me. She said, the time that you give is the same time that they need to give to. She said, you're not teaching anybody anything when you don't teach them the commitment of time. She said, you're giving your time. If they can't commit their time, then put them in a different slot. You have Bible studies on Fridays. You have Bible studies other days of the week. Why don't you have them come to those Bible studies? So I had a really hard time with this. I prayed about it for 2 weeks, and then I decided this is what I have to prioritize, things that are important in my life, too, like my son and my family's ability to eat. So I said, okay, so we'll do that. But I do want you guys to know, Wednesday night Bible studies for the girls doesn't happen anymore, but if you ever want it, it will happen again, right? But the commitment of time is important. It's something that we have to teach as well as we have to learn. I learned this when I was in school, because when I was in school, I attended a Bible study. And the few times that I didn't go, the Bible study leader called me up, and he wasn't as nice as I was on my text. He said, why weren't you here? And I said, oh, I had to study. And he's like, well, you know, because you didn't come, I was waiting for you, and I had to study too. I was like, oh, didn't think about it like that. I thought you were just, you know, holy people. You just got to be there anyway. But you think about it, right? It's like, that's something that really taught me about the value of time. It's like, you have to make and teach that commitment of time. So when you teach a Bible study, you have to be able to teach that as well. It's like, I commit my time to you to teach a Bible study. You need to put that same weight of time into learning that Bible study because it's important to you as well as it is to me. Does that make sense?
If I may add to that, yes. Too, very encouraged to know that, you know, there is a learning together moment. You know, even for the guys, the Wednesday, you know, kind of dwindle, but I have been encouraged by, you know, those who want it. And they would text me and say, hey, we have Bible study, right? In my mind, I don't know. So I'm saying, teacher, I go, I have been available, but I don't know who's showing up. But the one that wants, very encouraged. Just want to say that, you know, this is a relationship that we're growing together. It's not just the pastors are the one who's saying, hey, you got to have Bible study, let's be consistent. But we know that in this body, there are people who are like, hey, I do want that Bible study. Mm-hmm. So I think this is definitely encouragement there, and we're growing together.
And so with that being said, it's like not just Wednesday, but like any night or any time, we're of course always willing and able to talk to anybody or do Bible study if necessary. But let's go and read the second part of Hebrews chapter 10. We'll go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Right. So since, therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way in which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed pure with water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love with good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But remember the former days when after being endured a great conflict of suffering, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulation, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. As we look at this, it says, because Christ lives in us, this is the life that we now live. It is a new and living way. And when we look at our lives, it's like, are our lives aligned with that new and living way? That's what we're changing and conforming into. Change has to happen, right? How many of you agree that change has to happen in our life? Right? We all have to grow, right? We have to, you know, for those of us who have kids, you know that when you see your kids not growing in a certain area, you know, I have a teenager now, and my teenager, even more so, because I look at Jada sometimes like my baby. And so sometimes I tend to, like, ignore certain things that he does. And then I see it in another kid, and I'm like, that kid's like 15 years old. He should know better. And then I look at myself, I'm like, oh, shoot. he should know better too, right? You start to see these things, and you're like, oh, they're not growing in this certain area. So as a parent, you start doing things to make sure they start growing in the area. But then you look at yourself, and you're like, am I growing in all the areas that God has set for me? So when we look at Hebrews 10, it says that God gives us guidance, right? He says, you have a new and living way that we've been given because of what Christ has done for us. So now we get to draw near to God with a sincere heart and a full assurance of faith. That's really amazing. That means I can go into, it's like, most of you know, you can come to our house and we will always open the door and let you in. But more than that, you can go to your parents' house and they will always welcome you home, for the most part. Right. Or you can go, there's somebody in your life that you know you can go over and they'll always welcome you. That's what it feels like to have that full assurance of faith. Every time I go into the presence of God, He's right there. Welcome home. Right? I don't have to skirt around, oh, do you think God will talk to me today? Do you think God will be okay? Do you think He wants to have a conversation? No, none of that. We have full assurance of faith. Our God wants to talk to us. He is our Father. We have been allowed that permission into His presence. So we need to hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, because what He has promised, He's faithful to give. And then verse 24, don't forget this. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Fellowship is really, really important. You know, for those of you that know, it's like we have Bible studies, we have church, we have all of this, not just because we really like to eat. That's one reason we like to eat. But we really, really enjoy and see the value in assembling together. Right? We prioritize it in our lives over everything. It is a set thing in our lives, Bible studies on Fridays, church on Sundays, you know. And then now we have prayer nights, and we have prayer nights a couple nights a week. That's set. It's set because it's really, really important. The assembling together of believers to pray and the assembling together of believers to study His Word together is really, really important. So understanding all of this, it's like now that we know that we must change, I want to keep looking at this picture. Change happens over time. You know, a lot of times we pray about something and we might say, no, Father, I'm praying for this. And then we pray for 1 week. And then after we get a few of our friends to pray with us. 2 weeks, nothing happens. Then we give up. And if you look at this picture, remember this picture because that rock didn't move overnight. Right? Sometimes we'll bring our own dynamite trying to make things change. Right? Then we mess it up. You see, sometimes change, it just takes time. But in that time, there's a development that happens, and it happens naturally, and it happens according to God's plan. We sang that song. It says, in His time, He makes all things beautiful. Mm-hmm. As we're singing that song, I was thinking, Father, we are all, every one of us, we're waiting for something. I feel we can all identify something we're waiting for. Waiting for something to happen, waiting for a change in our life, waiting for a breakthrough. But we're all waiting for something. But that promise of in His time, He will make it beautiful, that's a hard thing to understand. Because like we would rather just bring our own dynamite and blow it up and make it happen right now. You know, and now it's like, you know, like I said it before, we have so much technology at our fingertips. It's like maybe we can try something. Let's try this. Let's try that. But sometimes we just have to wait. We just have to wait to go through the wind and the waves. We just have to wait and go through the trial and tribulation. And then God will take care of it for us.
And it may be very inconvenient in the process.
Yeah, not just for you, but for everyone else too, right? Usually when we try to blow things up ourselves, we tend to blow everybody else up around us. So understanding that we must change happens over time. And as I was going through these last couple of weeks, I've been praying a lot for consistency, praying for the body for consistency, because as believers, it's not just about being consistent in attending church and attending Bible study, but being consistent in our pursuit of Him. Mm. Every single day, it's because it's something I work with, right? Like, it's a challenge in my life. You know, waking up in the morning, being intentional and consistent about, do I spend enough time with God? You know, I every time I talk to Catherine, I'm like, her depth and her knowledge of God is so deep because she spends an inordinate amount of time in the presence of God. And I'm like, Lord, what about, but I have to work. What about that? But He reminds me, it's like, it's not just about the quantity, it's about the quality. It's like, will you, when you do spend time with God, can you stop thinking about everything else and really give that time to God? No, I'll tell you, that's my biggest challenge. Because in this brain, I've usually got five things going at the same time, including what to cook for dinner, right? So say, how do you stop and like intentionally really give that person that time? You know, I have a son, Jaden. When I talk to Jaden sometimes, if I have so many things going on in my head, I can tell he checks out because he knows mommy's thinking about three other things and talking to me. So when I see that, then I immediately have to take a step back and say, okay, I got to stop what I'm doing and have a conversation with my son, right? You know, when you talk to people and you can tell they're thinking about other things, you know, you feel like you don't really want to talk to me, or maybe you don't know how to talk to me. So you kind of give them a little bit of space for them to figure out that they're being a little bit rude. It's hard, right? It's a little, but can you imagine every time we have a conversation with God and it's an afterthought? Now, for me, it's always like, Father, give me time. Like, I hear that prayer at least 3 times a day. Please give me time. I'm late for a meeting, I'm late for a presentation, I'm late to come home. Father, please give me time. And that, every time I say that, I'm like, but have I spent other time just talking to him? Taking that time to just say, okay, nothing else, no phone, no nothing, to really spend that time with God, I must change. That I must change in my life, right? Because I have to get closer to God. I have to look more and more like him. I have to have my life be transformed to be like his presence, so that when I talk about God, I'm not just talking about it conceptually, but I'm talking about it in my life. That's how I must change. But then we must change too. As believers, we're always being converted more and more into his likeness, right? But remember, the change sometimes looks like this. It takes time. If you've been praying for something and you're feeling discouraged, and you're wondering when is it going to happen, then remember, it'll happen, but it'll happen in his time. And there's a lesson to be learned in this journey. If there's somebody in your life right now that's really bothering you, that they've been there and they're just bothering you, maybe it's time to ask yourself, why is this person here? Am I not being obedient to God? Am I not listening to what God has put this person here for? If you're working in a place that's really difficult, or if you're living in a place that's really difficult, and you're wondering, why am I here? It's a time, right? There's wind and there's waves and there's all kinds of things happening, but there needs to be something that's happening in that place. You know, a lot of times if we will stop fighting God and just begin to really ask him, why am I here? Do you have something for me to learn? And then we change our mindset and we start to learn. Now, earlier this year, I was talking to a girl, and when I first started talking to her, she'd always complain. I hate where I am. I hate what I'm doing. You know, this is my life. This is my family. I hate it. And we've just been talking, but over the year, I nothing of what I said, but just I've been praying for her and just really seeing God work. She herself, through her relationship with God, really began to just change the way she thought. Just change the way she thought. That's all she did. She said, I'm not going to complain anymore, but I'm just really beginning to talk about what God has given me. And just she just changed the way she talked. And so she's starting to say things like, I'm asking God why I'm here. I'm asking God why I'm going through this. Now, her situation hasn't changed, but her attitude has changed. Her outlook, and she's understanding that if I can just give thanks to God, I will begin to see why I'm here. You know, one thing we cannot forget, our God is our Father. Your Father will not put you in a place to just torture you for the fun of it. That's not a father. That's the enemy. A lot of times when we're going through hard times, we think of God like the enemy, like God put me here just to teach me a lesson. Why would he do that? He might put you there, but he's right there with you because he wants you to learn something from it. And through that learning, you'll get stronger and be blessed, and you'll bless those around you. Does that make sense? So we must change, and in order to do that, we must remain consistent and patiently endure. Hebrews 10, 36-39, I'm going to read it to you in the New Living Translation, because it says, patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay, and my righteous ones will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are like the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. Patient endurance is what you need now. Right? You look at that rock, and endurance. You got beat on every single day until everything shipped away. there are parts of our lives that we just need patient endurance for God to begin to work His way around us. You know, talking about old churches and the way they used to do things, I remember when in the church that I grew up in, sometimes when kids were disobedient, their parents would bring them to church for the pastor to pray over them. So the pastor would take them into the back room and pray over them. Usually the child will behave after that because they were so traumatized after that prayer session. But that's not what happens, right? We don't learn like that. We learn with patient endurance, patiently loving and enduring the people around us, or patiently loving and enduring the situations that we're going through. Amen. So, remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So don't be distracted, don't be attracted by strange new ideas. Your strength comes from God's grace, not from rules about food which don't help those who follow them. You know, Jesus hasn't changed. His salvation for us hasn't changed. How we worship Him, how we serve Him, it hasn't changed. Our dedication to Him hasn't changed. We have changed. The environment around us has changed. It's really important that as believers we continue to stay in His Word to understand what His Word is teaching us so that we're not distracted or attracted by what may seem easier or may seem more relatable. There's only one standard to God's Word, and that's His Word, right? If anything that is taught that is not according to the standard of His Word, then we should always question it and take it back to His Word. Do you know that every one of us are equipped to question? Because we have the answer book right here, right? If you're taught something and you feel like it's not right, go back to the answer book and figure out why. Because the Word of God is very clear on that. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That means in His consistency, that's one thing that we can rely on as we go through our times of change as well. Amen? Amen. Good. Any questions?
As I was thinking about change, the word "I have to" is a very powerful word, because the word "I have to" is very similar to the word "obedience." And I have said, the word "obedience" is the most difficult, especially for those who are disobedient. And when you think about change, we fight change all the time. And we tell ourselves what is good, and yet we don't do. And Apostle Paul talks about that. He says, the thing I should be doing, I don't do. The things I shouldn't do, yet I do. And he was talking about the struggle between flesh and the spirit. And today, I hope, just as the message here, Jesus is our strength, amen? So I think about this as far as obedience. We want something, but we don't do what it takes. And therefore, we constantly go into this conflict of disobedience all the time within ourselves. Resolution has been blown into a marketing term, is, you know, it becomes a list of things to do versus being resolute to something you believe in, right? Devotion and to Jesus Christ. You know, when I think about "I have to," I never have to try really hard when it comes to "I have to breathe." Anyone here have to breathe today? I know there are some people finding it hard to breathe. I get it. Physically, it's hard to breathe. So therefore, they're hanging on to their physical ability, "I have to breathe." They're giving themselves courage to, "I have to breathe, otherwise I won't survive." But most of us, we don't need to think about it. But yet we know, "I have to breathe, otherwise how can we survive?" In that contrast, I hope you understand that it does take, back to that picture without the rock and all that. The ocean beats at the rock, so to say. It takes time. But you have to think about why would you use the word "I have to"? Is it because of obedience or because of disobedience that you have to? And I think that's the bottom line. Amen? Mm-hmm. Change is good. We all know that. Jeannie was talking about change earlier. I was thinking, has there been a time that we are doing so much that we say, "I can't change anymore"? Is it possible that the person cannot change anymore? Probably not. It's just the perspective that we can't change anymore. We feel like we cannot take anymore, and so we don't. But the Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 28 is very interesting because it says, "Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today." That word careful is that step by step, little by little, trusting him. "The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God." As a young Christian, I used to struggle with just the consistency coming through, or even having desire to even pick up the Bible, because reading is not something I enjoy doing. But there has to come a time when all of that has to change. Amen. Suddenly, I want this Bible. I want the physical Bible. I don't want the digital Bible. The digital Bible is just like eating icing on top of the cake. I want the cake. I want to be able to grab hold of it. I want to be able to have a time when I travel to Africa when there's no electricity, there's no PowerPoint. I cannot make excuse, "Oh God, my phone ran out of battery, so I can't preach." I want to have my thing. That's the kind of desire that I have to have it, but I don't struggle with it. Amen. It's like breathing. I have to breathe, but I don't struggle with breathing. I don't need to think about it. That's what I need. That's what I have. And I hope that's something that we can all pray about. You know, why do we struggle with our faith? Why do we have to say, "I have to"? Is there an element of disobedience that is conflicting between what you know you need and yet our actions are not in alignment? And that's definitely a place of growth, a place of where God can search, you know, within our heart, and God can be God in our life in those moments too. Amen? So.
One example in the Bible that God showed me about consistency was Joshua when he led the Israelites into Jericho. Well, for 7 days, they were consistent to obey. That was granted 7 days, but they had a whole journey before that. But for 7 days, they did something that seemed quite ridiculous. Right? They just walked around the wall. Somehow they were going to penetrate that wall. Somehow they were going to go in and take what God had promised them. Somehow it was going to happen. For 7 days, they did something that seemed like, you know, for people like me, it was like, for the first 6 days, they only walked around once a day. I'm like, what did you do for the rest of the day? Were you planning on how you're going to get in there? Like, did somebody have a plan? Did someone have a strategy? So for 6 days, they just walked around once, and then they went home, right? And then the seventh day, they walked around 7 times. And the seventh time, they just shouted, and the walls came down. Consistency is obedience, right? And sometimes God has us do things that we just like, am I even growing? You know, for what we've had Logos Church, and we've been serving together for 14, 15 years now. You know, so, and there have been many years that I look and I just ask the Lord, have you been doing the right thing? He's like, keep bringing people. Why do you keep bringing people? Right? Like, you bring people, and know we must be doing something. But like, I wonder why we do this. Like, we're still here. What are we doing here? But it's consistency. You know, one thing that you guys can always count on is that you come here on Sunday, there's going to be church. And if you don't come here one Sunday and there's no church, come check the bedrooms because you might be dead.
In the park.
Come on. Yeah. One day of the year we might be at the park. That's the only reason. Otherwise, maybe you came on a snow day and nobody else came. but otherwise, consistency is obedience. And when I look at Joshua, I mean, I can imagine he must have had people like me in his team who were going like, we're just going to walk around once. What else are we going to do? Come on, this is a big, thick wall. Are we not doing anything? But consistency is a lot of times it's just that quiet, patient endurance. Mm. This is what God has asked me to do. It doesn't make sense. I feel like I'm wasting time. I feel like I'm not making progress. But this is where he has me right now. And if he has me here, he must have a reason. Sometimes patient endurance doesn't look pretty, right? It doesn't look perfect. It's not Facebook pretty. It's not Facebook pretty for sure, right? But that's what it is, you know? Sometimes patient endurance doesn't look like what all your friends have. But that's okay, but that's where God has us, right? And so it's just trusting him and be able to walk through it. You go back to Joshua, it's like Joshua trusted him like crazy. Mm. He trusted him all the way to the end. He's saying, this is what God asked me to do, I'm doing it all the way to the end. And only at the end did he see the result. Mm. There was no crumbling of the walls along the way to give him a little bit of hope. There was nobody saying, I heard God said he's going to bring the wall down in the seventh. None of that. He had nothing to go on but faith. That's all he had. And that's what patient endurance looks like. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Yeah. So that's before we close. Does anyone have any questions before we close? Comments? Good. All right. I'm going to close then. Father, I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, Father, because you are so good in our life.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, you are so consistent, and you've been the same from the beginning and until our end, Lord Father. We know there's one thing that will be the same in our life, and that's you. Father, your word has been true from the beginning, and your word will be true to the end. And everything that we hold on to today, everything that Jesus said, we have committed to, everything that we have decided and resolved in our heart that we are going to make our life into, Lord Jesus, is going to hold true till the end, Lord Jesus. And I ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, that as each one of us departs from here today, that your word will continue to write upon our heart. That, Father, this year, Lord Jesus, as we look back at how you've worked in each one of our lives, how you've changed our hearts and our minds, Lord Jesus, how you've strengthened us, and how you've been so good in our walk, Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for everything, Abba, Father. As we go into 2020, Father, we'll go into the next year just being so thankful for how good you are to us, how faithful you are, how alive you are in our lives, Lord. And Father, as we look back, Father, our hearts can be filled with joy and thanksgiving because, Father, we know you have not let us go. You consider every part of our life and that you have great plans for us in the future. But Father, I pray that in this year, Lord, you give us the strength, Father, to patiently endure, to continue this patient endurance as we walk with you and love you and honor you, Lord Jesus, that our lives in every area, Father, will be a reflection of you. Mm-hmm. Father, I pray for each one in this room. I pray for those that are waiting, all of us that are waiting, Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. But Father, during this time of waiting, there will be joy. Mm-hmm. During this time of waiting, Lord, there will be so much joy and so much faith and growth, Lord Jesus, that every little answered prayer, Father, will increase our faith. Mm-hmm. Every time we see your hand move, Father, we know that, God, you are alive and our faith will continue to grow in you. And Father, I pray for those that are tired and want to give up. I just pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that you will strengthen each heart, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, I pray for fear, Lord Jesus, for anyone in the room who has fear. What if I fall? What if I don't make it? What if? And in the name of Jesus, I want to come against every spirit of fear and bind that spirit in the name of Jesus. Mm. Father, I just want to pray, Father, that instead of the what if I fail, what if I grow?
Mm. Yes.
Father, what if, Lord Jesus, you actually bring me to this new place that you say, what if I continue to see my life continue to change? And then actually begin to say, I am going to change. I am going to know my Father and know him for real. I'm going to see his hand in my life every single day. I'm going to experience my God in a whole new way. Thank you, Abba Father, for each heart that is here. I thank you for those that are here and those that are at home, those that are calling in. Father, I just want to pray for your protection for those that are traveling. I ask that you bring each one home safely, Lord.
Yes,
Lord. In Jesus' almighty name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.